Thank y'all. I'm glad you're here today. I want to start the program by telling you, first of all, what I'm teaching you today about the Juvenile Case Manager Program is how it stands right now. There's some changes with the legislator that are going to change some of the Juvenile Case Manager items, and we'll go over those. But right now, I'm going to go over how the program is ran and how it works right now. First, I want to ask, do I have any juvenile case managers here today? All right, where are you from? Pasadena? Okay. And sir, where are you from?
Midland,
not too far down the road. Okay, great. Well, y'all can help me along if you have any input, and I'll probably be asking you some questions too if you don't mind. But we'll get started today. And what the objectives are is we're going to identify the statutes relating to case management. I'm going to push this down just a little bit here. And then we're going to describe what a case manager can be in your city. And this is how to start a case manager program. And we're also going to discuss the benefits of having case managers, why you want a case manager in your court, and how it's helpful to you. We're also going to create an action plan for establishing a case manager program. So we're going to talk about how to do it and how to get your city rolling with one. Okay, the statute can be found in Article 45056, and this is the authority to employ a juvenile case manager. And then you can also find more statutes in Article 102.0174, and that's the creation of the Juvenile Case Manager Fund. And this is the fund that funds this program, separate from how other deputy clerks get paid. Okay, when the legislator created this position, it was created in 2001, so it's a fairly new position. It's been with us for 10 years. They created this to recognize the importance of case management at early stages of criminal activity. And then they want to provide a case manager fund to fund this person to oversee this. So the intent was for a case manager to be a part court clerk, to also be a part probation officer, and a part social worker. And you'll see in the different courts that have a juvenile case manager, they all utilize their case manager in a different way. And we're going to go over those different ways that this person can work in your court. These are the three basic models: the compliance officer, the probation officer, and a social worker. And it's kind of in the order of how much activity you have with the juveniles. The compliance officer model we're going to go over first, and that's kind of my role in my court, how I do my case management. The compliance officer model, this would include a clerk-like duty. So, as an example, you can hire this juvenile case manager who oversees your juvenile docket, and they solely work with your juveniles. This person also does other duties, like, for example, my court, when we're short at the windows, I'm on full-time phones. So I answer the phones to adults along with the juveniles, and I'm on rotation of the regular clerks on phones, and I also fill in for windows. So when we have somebody short, that person can also be utilized to fill in those gaps in your court. In this particular role, you have little to no contact with the juveniles, and what that's saying is I see them when they come in for the juvenile docket or when they come in for teen court. I visit with them then. We go over, you know, what their procedures are and what kind of assignment they have and where they can do community service. But I really don't have active contact with them throughout their probation period. Other than with teen court, I do. I see them as they come in to do their jury terms. But this type of role doesn't have a lot of, you know, activity with them as far as calling them, meeting with their parents. We just kind of meet them the first time and follow them through. And then we get to meet them again if they don't comply. So, we also report the noncompliance to the court. So that's when we have our show cause docket. When the kids don't do what they're supposed to, we get to see them again and they get to revisit the court. Hopefully they come back and we get to go over with them what they didn't do and what they need to do for the court. Okay, the next type model you could have as a juvenile case manager would be more of a probation. You know, we all hear about probation officers. And these meet more regular with the juvenile, where they probably set up a meeting about 3 months into their six-month deferral. They'll set up a meeting and kind of revisit and see where they're at along the way with their terms that they have. And they oversee the court order more than the other model does. And, of course, they would report back to the court what's going on, report back, you know, how this kid's progress is going. And they're more actively involved with the juvenile. And the last one we have is a social worker. And this is what it says, more of a social worker model. And this person would meet regularly with the juvenile and family, so they may meet more on a monthly basis, or they may call in and talk to them. They do the assessment of their needs. If they're having problems getting community service done or getting their classes attended, they may help them find other places to go and help them with that. And they also give them links to the appropriate services, and they monitor their compliance like the other ones do. I want to ask, in Pasadena, what type of role do you serve as a juvenile case manager? The what? The clerk, kind of like my module where you get to do all the different things. Right, which is kind of good for your court because you help them in the court a lot and you're an active role in the court. Right. Yeah, so that's a great advantage to your courts when the juvenile case managers are more of the clerk type role. When they're more of this role, they're real busy with just doing the juvenile activity. So, and sir, in Midland, how do y'all do it there? So y'all are a little more involved. Great. Yeah. So you meet with them how often, each kid? So that's a good idea because you probably get compliance in your court as you're following them through. That's great. How many of you come from a big court with a lot of juveniles that you see in your court? So Mesquite's very busy. They have quite a few, and they do them weekly. So y'all would benefit largely with a juvenile case manager. Is there any other big courts here? Where are you from?
Austin,
yes. We were just talking a while ago. So, and y'all are talking about starting up a program? Or that's great. Yeah, and you're big enough where I'm sure y'all have such a large amount.
Exactly. And if we do.
We do. That's great. And y'all are from big cities as well?
Here.
Okay, you're from Odessa. So I bet y'all have an active juvenile group too. Y'all have the teen court program here in Odessa that Tammy Hawkins runs. She does a good job. She seems really busy all the time too.
She's a wild woman.
She is. She's a live card. Boy. She's a lot of fun. Okay. Well, that's good to kind of know what type of group we have in here and that y'all are seeing a lot of juveniles. So maybe y'all can go back to your courts that don't have one and get one of these programs started in your court. Okay, what is the best approach for your court? We've kind of talked about the job duties this person could have, so let's talk about the approach of it. And we'll go over the benefits of having a case manager as well. First, this person would maintain, who likes juveniles? Does anybody here just really love the juvenile docket? Okay. So you do because you're doing it, and I like mine too. Actually, I like the juveniles because I feel like there's some hope with the juveniles. The adults, we're kind of a lost cause once we get to that point. But this person, if you don't like juveniles, this would be your go-to person who kind of handles all that, and you kind of don't have to mess with it. So it's good to have someone there that oversees your juveniles. They kind of become familiar with the kids, and it's pretty neat to have somebody that kind of knows what's going on with certain juveniles and so forth. This person would also monitor the compliance of court orders, like we were visiting with some of the other juvenile case managers who have a pretty active role. He meets with them and visits with them, and that's a really good thing if you have the time to do that with your case manager to kind of oversee it. And your compliance will be a lot better in your court than those that don't. So that's where a juvenile case manager is beneficial. Then it promotes defendants' accountability. So if you've got someone calling you and meeting with you, it's going to make them more accountable because they're reporting in what they're doing and what they're not doing, and that person's pushing them along to get it done. So that's a big benefit there. It gives credibility to the program. So the program works better for the court when you have someone strictly working with your juveniles. It also reduces the recidivism. One of the things, like we do in my court with the juvenile case manager position, that person also does a teen court. So if you ever thought about incorporating a teen court with yours, I don't know if y'all were here and heard Myra's speech, but she does teen court and I do teen court, and this person can serve as that coordinator for your teen court. So you could have a lot of activity with this person, and a lot of juveniles could be served through your court this way. I'm a big believer in teen court. I have seen so many changes through the teen court program, and you could kind of sell your city with this ideal of starting this juvenile case manager program, and that person could maybe start up a teen court. And this would be a way to fund some of that. Okay, to get started, if you're interested, you go back and you want to get a juvenile case manager in your court. There's a few steps you take. It's not real involved, but it's pretty easy to do. The first thing you're going to do is go back and you'll discuss it. Do most of you work for your cities, or do y'all work in other entities in your court? Cities, everybody city-based pretty much? Okay, this will be easy then. We'll all be on the same page. You're going to go back and talk to your city manager, to your judge, and to your administrator, who you report to. And this person will help you get this ball rolling to get this program started. And then your city council will develop an ordinance. It will be introduced to your city council, and it will be introduced as an ordinance. And if it gets approved by the city council, then it can happen. And then once you get it approved, you're going to draw up your program. And that's where you're going to describe what you want this person to do. And like I said, there's no wrong or right in your court. Every court tends to do it different, how they, you know, do their juvenile case manager. Like we've been talking to some of us, our probation officers, there are some teen courts, not teen courts, but juvenile case managers that are part-time. I know of one in the Lakeway area. You may be familiar with it. It's a part-time position, and that's all she does is juveniles. And she does these days where they all get dressed up and they go do community service. They put on vests, and she puts a big banner out in their city stating that they're here to do community service. And she even feeds them from what I hear, out of her own funds. And she's really into this juvenile case manager thing, but she's only part-time, so she serves as a part-time employee. Then you need to set up your account, and this account is separate from your other court accounts. This will be a juvenile case manager fund. And then you're going to establish the fee for that account. And that fee can be anywhere from $0 to $5. Most of the courts I know do $5. Do y'all do $5 in Pasadena on the tickets? What do y'all do? $2? Wow, okay. Y'all can be getting more than that. Okay. That would be good for you to have more funding. How about you? $5? Okay. We're $5 in Georgetown. He's $5 in Midland, and she's $2 in Pasadena. To me, I don't know why you'd want to be less than $5 when you can gather that. And that fee's added to every ticket that comes in. So that can accumulate to quite a few dollars, especially if you are one of the big courts that have a lot of activity in your court. It could really rack up some good money. And this is the money that's used to fund that position. So if you get $5, that's going to fund that person better to do more juvenile activity. Okay, and then you would get with your administrators and your city personnel, and you would start interviewing for this position. And it's pretty, you can see it's not a lot to start in it, but you do have to go through the city council and get the ordinance passed and get it written up. And I believe in the back of your books, my co-presenter, I believe, put in her packet one of the ordinances that they wrote in Bryan College Station. So she may have included that in there. Okay, we're at a portion where we're going to do some questions and answers to kind of go over what we just talked about. And I'm going to give some candy for the winners, and I just need the first person that answers these to blurt out the answer, and I'm going to try and figure out which one it is, and I'm going to give you some candy. And then we'll go over some questions and answers or any other juvenile questions you may have. Okay, the first question is it generally accepted that minor offenses are gateway behavior to delinquency? True or false? Okay, somebody back here. All right. We're just going to pass this around and let you choose your candy here. Got to have some candy to wake up this afternoon. This is the sleepy time of day. Pick you two of them. Okay. All right. Our next question. A city ordinance is required before your city begins collecting the case manager fee.
True.
Very good. Man, he said it loud. He's hungry. He wants some chocolate. You got two. Here, get you another one. Good job. Okay, question number 3. The fee set by your city can be less than $5. Very good. Question number 4. The money from the case manager fee can be used. We didn't go over this, but let's see what y'all think on this. The money from the case manager fee can be used for supplies, office space, and operating expenses. You were correct. That's false. And I'm sorry I didn't go over that. Yeah, and I'll go over that with y'all. Okay, I'm going to address this one a little bit. Whenever you have your case manager fund, it goes to your salary and to your benefits. So it would go to your medical benefits, and it goes to you, your funding. It does not go to your city's office for any materials, any office supplies. That is strictly to pay your salary and your benefits. I believe it stays in the account. That's a very good question and one that I became curious about myself, but I need to ask my administrator what they do exactly. I believe it stays in the account and right and continues because it's a separated account from everybody else. So that's what's great about this position is your city, like my city, just froze positions. We're broke in our city right now. And I'm hoping they keep funding teen court right now because we're having problems there. But if you have this position, you can have somebody come and work in your court that's funded separately. It's funded off of violators. So that's why this is a beautiful thing. You know, you can actually have someone else in that room with you working. For you small courts, I know there's courts that have one clerk, and that one clerk needs to go on vacation, you know. So this is great to have somebody like this in there and another body in there working with you. So it's a win-win. It's just a matter of getting. And you're through a JP office or city? And y'all are combining to get one? Well, you take this information back and you get them going on it. Keep pushing for it. I know. To me, it's a win-win.
Yes,
if you now, I know. Now, they're like I said, they're fixing to change some stuff, the qualifications for a case manager and so forth. So it's going to be different, and I'm not real clear on a lot of this because it just all got passed. So there's been all kinds of activity with this role, but right now, as it stands, this is how it goes, and it will still be funded the same way, the $5 and all that. But there could be some education stipulations for the case manager and who you report to. That may change, but maybe not because the wording's not real specific. But we'll get on to the next question and answer. And y'all did good considering I didn't give you that answer, so good job on that. Okay, number 5, small cities and our counties may agree to employ a case manager and share expenses. Is that true? I heard somebody up here first. Which one was it? Or did y'all both do it?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Pick you out a couple there. We have Almond Joy, Mounds, Reese's, Kit Kats. We got some good chocolates in here. Okay. Question number 6. Must a case manager be employed full-time and receive benefits? Very good. And you said it first. And that she answered false. And that is correct. I was talking about the lady at Lakeway. She's part-time. So there's not a lot of part-time ones from the people I've been meeting as I do this. But there are a few. So it is doable. And okay, the last question. Is your city, county must collect a juvenile case manager fee? That's correct. It's false. You do not have to collect a fee. But like we talked about, why would you not and why would you not max out that fee? Because it's just more money for that funding of that person. Okay. All right. Does anybody have any specific questions about the program before we talk about juvenile stuff? Does anybody have any questions about starting up on these programs or taking back information? There is, like I said, information in the back of this that should give you an ordinance from the Bryan College Station office, and it shows you the ordinance they used when they adopted their program. And from what I hear and see, it sounds like there's more and more courts that are getting these positions. I was talking to Mark earlier before our class started, so this is all new news to me. But some of the changes, and I believe if y'all were here for the juvenile segment of it, he went over some of these Senate bills. There's a Senate bill 209, and this talks about the reporting, who that person's going to report to. And it talked about at one time us clerks reporting to the judge rather than to our city or to our I report to administrator or court administrator. Do y'all report with your court administrator as well in your cities?
I report with my judge and my court administrator.
So So you report to everybody. Okay. And you in Midland, do y'all report? That's me too. I just report to the administrator. The Senate bill, as they were creating it, it was last 2 years ago when they talked about it, it was that we would report directly to the judge. Well, my city just has a judge that comes in once a week to do court. So he's not officed with us, and he just, you know, when he stamps papers, really or truly, he just kind of stamps. You know, he's not that involved with the cases. So it would be hard for us who are full-time, you know, employees in the court to report to a judge that way. So I don't think that's getting passed that way, but it does have some wording. And I'm going to read this to you. This is what he showed me underlined is what's passing. It says, the juvenile case manager shall timely report to the judge who signed the order or judgment and on request to the judge assigned to the case or the preceding judge any information or recommendations relevant to assisting the judge in making decisions that are in the best interest of the child. And in talking with Mark, he kind of explained to me that we would just kind of go over the case with that judge. We don't actually have to report to him as our boss, more or less. So now my case, I love my judge, so I don't mind him being my boss, but I don't think that's what this intention is. I think it's just that we're going to start reporting more of what our activity is with the cases and kind of reporting that to the judge more than we presently do, apparently. I'm not real sure on that. Because, you know, a lot of our courts have a lot of juveniles. It would be hard to sit and visit with every case. And, you know, some of that stuff, you have to be careful with what you share with your judge, you know, because we're kind of in the middle there. So I'm sure they'll be going over this more with the legislative update here in September. Then the other piece that was with the legislators that's changing is the education and training of your juvenile case manager. And right now, I don't know what kind of education level everyone's at, but this is going to put that you have to go through certain training and so forth to be a juvenile case manager. Right now, I just come to TMCEC like y'all do and do my regular training, and I'm trying to do level 2. But other than that, I don't do any outside schooling for that. So I don't know how much this is going to change the present juvenile case managers, but it will change the newly hired juvenile case managers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I think the design of this is. Both of these are the intentions to make this person more of a probation type officer, which is fine for me because I like to deal with the juveniles, but in our court I wouldn't be able to assist so much as I do right now because, like I said, I'm in regular rotation of all the other clerks that handle other dockets. So. Mm-hmm. So that person could come in and do just juveniles. Yeah. So, yeah. And like I said, I haven't even read this until just now. I'm reading it with y'all, so this is all new. Now, I know that, did y'all receive the emails about the juvenile case manager program, how they were trying to take it out of the courts? That was getting real crazy. One of the bills that the Senate had created, it's a truancy bill, and they piggybacked some wording about juvenile case managers, and the way they had it worded, it was going to take the juvenile case managers out of the courts, out of the municipal courts, the city courts. It was going to leave it in the JP courts. So that got around, and we started getting emails about it to go to the Capitol and talk to the legislators, and a bunch of people did go, and they fought that, and they got that wording taken off. Thank goodness they did, because, you know, like I said, our jobs are funded through tickets, basically. So right now, it's a great thing. Some of this may make it a little harder, some of the new legislation that will be coming up in September. But if you got somebody going real quick, like before this, maybe they could be grandfathered in and don't have to go. And that was a question I had for Mark. I asked, are we going to be grandfathered or do we go with these? And they think that we'll be grandfathered in and not go through the steps that these new people will to be hired. So, anyway, if anybody wants to look at these bills, Mark provided these, and y'all can look over these as well. And I'm sure, I don't know how many of you will be attending the legislative update. Will anybody be going? So you'll hear all about these then. The education and training for the juvenile case manager is Senate Bill 61. So you might be looking at that one as it comes out.
Would the new case manager need to have a master's?
I don't think so. Specifically, he has underlined here, it says, he said only the things underlined are the ones that we have to pay attention to, so I'm going to read what he's got underlined. Pay the salary and benefits of a juvenile case manager and the cost of training, travel, office supplies, there's that word, and other necessary expenses relating to the position. And then he's got reasonable rules underlined and code of ethics and educational preserve and in-service training standards. He's got starred, so this may be training in the role of the juvenile case manager, case planning and management, applicable procedural and substantial law, courtroom proceedings and presentation, services to at-risk youth under Chapter D, Chapter 264 Family Code. So there's going to be some training involved, but I have not seen any wording like they talked about with degrees. Earlier they were talking about at least an associate's, and then I've heard that about bachelor's, but I don't think any of that passed from what I understand. So does anybody have any juvenile problems going on in their court? Anybody experiencing problems with the NDO thing? Non-disclosure order? Yeah, we're having all kinds of problems with that in our court because we're real strict with it and we don't talk to the parents at all about the kids once they have a conviction. They do. I was with them when they... So she's talking about the same issue we have, and y'all are probably all facing this with the NDO when they put that into a rule 2 years ago. We can't discuss the case with the kids once they have a conviction. And we have a lot of kids that just opt and take a conviction, like on curfew and different things, they'll go for a conviction or jumping off the cliffs. We have a lot of those. They'll take a conviction because they're not going to get it on the record, so they don't care. They'll take their conviction to community service. Then we have those parents, when the kids don't comply, we're trying to get them back for show cause, which I have to send the letters to the kid and not to the parent suddenly, which those kids get their mail and throw it in the trash, unfortunately, sometimes, because they'll tell us they do, and that creates a problem for the court. Then you have the parent who is trying to be a good parent and call and help get the kid to court, and then we can't tell them anything. So it does make it hard. The best thing that we can do is just tell them to have their child call us and we'll discuss it with them. So that has been a real problem, but I've heard that is too going to change with the legislative update. I heard they cleaned that up a lot, so it should be a lot easier for us courts and juvenile people that are dealing with juveniles. It did change. I was just talking to Ryan, but I guess it's effective maybe in September or January. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, it recently passed, so. So that'll be good for us juvenile people to be back to normal. You know, we can talk to the parents again, the ones that have convictions. So is there any other juvenile activity y'all want to talk about or any problems in your courts or any problems with starting one of these? Is anybody interested in starting a juvenile case manager program?
Yeah, I think part of the reason they're in there, even be concerned with their child.
Right. Yeah, we're seeing more and more of that in our courts.
You know, what time are you going to be done? I got things to do.
Right. The parents are too busy.
Right.
What about getting a teen court formed to filter those? That's what we filter a lot in our teen court is the school offenses. Most of our teen court docket is DOC offenses. And let me tell you, from having a teen court in our court, and I do mean this when I say this, the kids are a lot meaner to their peers than our judge would ever be on them. I mean, if there's a kid up there on the stand that's talking, because we make them stand as witnesses, and we also make the officers appear. So the officer gets up there as witness, and he talks about what happened when he wrote the ticket and why he wrote it and the attitude of the kid. And if that officer gets up there and talks about an attitude kid, I'm telling you, those little jurors are taking note, and they're maxing them out on their sentencing. And the sentencing we do in our court is community service and jury terms. So these kids come back and act as a juror for other cases. So, and they really like it. It's funny because we have the kids come as defendants and they do jury terms. And they said, can I do more jury terms instead of more community service and be a juror some more? And I'm like, come be a volunteer. And we've gotten a few kids that have came as being, you know, an offender and now are a volunteer in our court. So it's a great program. If you can start a teen court, if you get a juvenile case manager and have somebody freed up to do that, it's a wonderful program. And it works good. The kids really like it, and they come, they appear. I rarely have parents that don't appear on the teen court docket. And when they come up, and they say, this is a wonderful program. And I don't hear that in juvenile court. Everybody's like, they don't want to be there. But when they come to teen court, the parents are appreciative, and they're very, you know, pro-teen court. So it's really a great thing if you can get one started. And Myra gave you a lot of insight on that. But you can kind of combine the two with your juvenile case manager. And like you with your DOCs, you could filter those right into teen court. Kind of get them out of your, you know, court and let them be handled amongst teens. So it's kind of a neat thing. Does anybody have a teen court program that's here? You're starting one in Austin. Yeah. Are your police officers in your cities doing a good job about getting you parent information on the tickets? I have about half of mine that do, and it drives me crazy. She is flashing me a sign, and I cannot read it that far. Okay, so you developed a form in your court that, is it like the address verification form? So you have them put what school they go to if you have multiple schools? That's a good idea. And I guess all of you are using the address verification forms when your juveniles come in. They have to verify their address and comply. Of course, they don't comply. We know nobody hardly calls us and tells us they've moved, but we try to make them feel bad, and they're like, you're supposed to be calling us. You could get fined. Of course, we don't do that. But and do y'all add extra things? Yes, ma'am. Right. But juveniles are hard to find because they don't own a house. They don't have a – right, if you can get the parents' information. So that's good. You're doing a good job. You're really following up, and that's great. Yeah. And see, this is the benefits of having a juvenile case manager. Look at all that stuff she's doing to get those addresses. Yeah, we have a problem in our city with the police officers. I had a docket the other day with 22, and out of 22, 12 of them didn't have a parent's name or an address. And what the officers put is self-employed. Well, I know that this 14-year-old boy that they just gave this ticket to is no more self-employed than the man in the moon. They just put that down. And then they put student. You know, student, okay, yeah, they're 13, 14, they would be a student, but they're not giving me information. So this is a real hot topic right now with me and the police department is to get them to provide information. And these tickets are writing, you know, as you know, we can all do PIs now. These have been PIs of all things. And it's like, that's a new type ticket in our court for the juveniles, and I need that information. And these kids, I don't know if they do in your city like they do mine, but they move as quick as they get to town, they're leaving town. And I don't know what it is, but they're relocating. They, you know.
Sometimes they change schools also.
They do.
Right.
They go to other cities. Right. Y'all have a lot of schools in your cities, and probably some of y'all do too. In my city right now, we have the one high school, which is kind of easy to track down right now. But sometimes, yeah, y'all have a lot to keep up with. Yes, that's very helpful. And see, your juvenile case manager can get these little groups formed of people, and it could help y'all, and y'all don't have to deal with that in your city any longer. So, does anybody else have any questions about anything or anything else? And Kathy, I kind of went over some of the information Mark gave. Do you have any other input about some of the new changes? Yes. And she's right. That was that bill talking about taking case managers out of the courts that we were talking about. That's the one she... I've heard about that, yes, and I've tried to contact them to get more information. I have extra candy if anybody would like some, so let's, you're welcome. And I have the extra candy if y'all like to come get some. And good job on answering all the questions correctly. Y'all are good.
I don't have to answer the questions.
No, you get one for free. Well, thank y'all very much. Enjoy your time in Odessa.